Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Sean Plott, aka Day 9, and today I want to talk about variations on 5-hatch Hydra in Zerg vs. Protoss. Whenever you read strategy forums, you get a lot of discussions about what build should I do and this sort of thing, so rather than do that exactly, I figured it would be sort of fun to just discuss the variations on the same idea, because lately we've seen a whole lot of 5-hatch Hydra type stuff in Zerg vs. Protoss. And I just think it's cool to sort of discuss the interesting things you can do with it, because there really isn't one set way to play a 5-hatch Hydra build. I'm going to begin this podcast by discussing a brief history of Zerg vs. Protoss, and what Zergs have tended to do versus Protoss early expandings over time. Naturally, I'll wrap this up once I hit the current state of Protoss, and then I'll spend some time discussing why 5-hatch Hydralisk came to be and why it's so effective against the current style of play. Once I've spent some time discussing the most common variation of 5-hatch Hydra, I wanted to spend time talking about two additional variations. And the whole idea of this is that anytime you are using one of your own builds, or trying to mimic another player's build, it's very useful to think about what the essence of that build is, and to think of different ways that you can do it to play to your strengths, or just to play to whatever stylistic choice you have. So with that said, let us begin a brief history of Zerg vs. Protoss. When StarCraft first came out, Protoss has pretty much never early expanded against Zerg. It was just 2-gate or fast gas. After Protoss players became much more comfortable early expanding, and you know, they realized things like you don't need to get a whole bunch of units you can tech once you early expand, the most typical thing that Protoss players did was to go for fast Zealot leg speed when they early expanded, and the big first push was to come out with 4 gateway speed Zealots with a super fast +1 attack upgrade. Because Zealots are so mobile, and because you have that +1 attack upgrade to kill off Zerglings, it was a really solid first push. It was almost impossible to not get a third expansion if you opened up this way. And you could put a huge amount of pressure on Zerg by running wherever he had expansions. For the most part, it kind of pushed Zerg back and set Zerg on the defensive for the mid-game. Consequently, the most typical Zerg counter to this was to double expand upon seeing a Protoss early expand, and then to go straight for a lair and spire to get Mutalisks. And Mutalisks were sort of the key to holding off this Zealot harass. The Zerg player would get a whole bunch of sunken colonies at each of his expansions, and then he would use the Mutalisks to drive the Zealots back, and the Mutalisks could also be useful in delaying that third expansion that the Protoss wanted to get so badly. With the Mutalisks pushing the Protoss player back on the defensive and trying to pick off probes and do harassment and this sort of thing, the Zerg, still on just 3 hatcheries, would proceed to get lurkers very quickly to further defend from these increasing Zealot numbers, and use these lurkers to expand a bit more, and then the Zerg could pretty much do whatever. He would generally add on more hatcheries and get upgrades and tech towards Hive, and that sort of thing. In essence, the Zerg player would get air control by getting the Mutalisks, and hence a good portion of map control. The Zerg would complete the map control by getting lurkers, and then, with these 3 expansions, the Zerg would power drones, and it was really, really hard for Protosses to deal with this, because they had this Mutalisk harass running around, they had these lurkers, so then they had to get observers to go make the attack. And then, whenever they did make the attack, Zerg just had so much stuff that it was just way too difficult to break him. Now, all the Protoss players are whining about Zerg imbalance, until Bisou comes along and crushes Savior 3-0 with this ingenious Corsair play. That is, instead of rushing for fast Zealot leg speed, Bisou went for a whole bunch of Corsairs early. As a result, Zerg players couldn't really get air control. Those Mutalisks were completely ineffective. Moreover, with all these Corsairs running around, protecting your overlords becomes a big issue. The Zerg always has to have enough anti-air to repel the Corsairs from killing all his overlords. So, that common transition into lurkers, so that the Zerg player can expand a lot, now has no validity. By getting Corsairs, Mutalisks to lurkers to a lot of expanding and map control cannot happen at all. Naturally, Zerg players responded by trying to kill the Corsair play before it ever got off the ground. You see Zergs doing every sort of all-in play possible. However, once Protosses became comfortable enough doing this Corsair opening, and learned to position their buildings and their cannons appropriately, it was discovered that this Protoss Corsair opening was just stable, and you had to figure out a way to deal with it. And that's when we had a trend of Protosses actually winning more games against Zerg. After Bisou, I think that the Zerg win rate against Protoss dropped as low as 46 or 47%. It was pretty brutal. So Zergs were dying left and right until this scourge into five hatch Hydra play became really, really popular. Here's the big realization many Zerg players had. Previously, the Zerg was rushing to Mutalisks. The Zerg was rushing to units because the Zerg needed those units to help hold off these massive Zealot numbers. And the Mutalisk is an excellent choice because not only can the Zealots not attack it, but Mutalisks are also good at counter-harassing the Protoss player. However, against a fast Corsair player, there are no majorly threatening units that are coming out early. There's no big Zealot push to worry about. So, Protosses can safely get a Spire, and then just get a bunch of Scourge and keep making drones for a little bit longer. Zergs could now easily get 5 hatcheries and a ton of drones up and running before they made any units, because there was literally no worry at all of an early Protoss attack. So let's stop and think about how old-school Zerg vs. Protoss worked. The Zerg player began by getting air control with those Mutalisks, and then getting map control with a lot of Lurkers and Zerglings. Zerg still wants those two things. So, Zerg ends up getting Scourge, or I guess Scourge if you like pronouncing things correctly, but whatever. So Zerg gets Scourge to deny Protoss air control, again not to necessarily take air control, but to deny Protoss of air control by scourging all his Corsairs. With 5 hatcheries up and running with a bunch of drones, there's no better choice for a map control unit than Hydralisks. There's no worries of Templar or Reavers early, nor is there a big worry about a substantial Zealot Dragoon army to take down a huge clump of Hydralisks. So Hydralisks are the best choice for the early mid-game in terms of maintaining map control. And then later on, since Protoss has been denied air control, Zerg can get a whole bunch of Mutalisks later, once he has enough gas. And now Zerg has map control with his Hydralisks and air control with his Mutalisks, and that's a very difficult thing for a Protoss player to deal with. But still note that nothing really has changed from old-school Zerg vs. Protoss to now. Zerg is still just trying to figure out ways to get air control and map control. In either circumstance, the Zerg player is just using different units to accomplish the same thing. So the basic play became Scourge into Hydras into Mutas. A great example of this idea being used in practice was July vs. Best on Andromeda in the OSL Finals. Best got a ton of Corsairs, but July was getting so many Scourge to take them down that there was virtually nothing Best could do to maintain map control. Meanwhile, July was able to expand along the entire left side of the map, and when Best finally came out, July just had so many units. In fact, July did end up doing that transition back to Mutalisks too, to abuse this whole air control idea. So I've done a whole bunch of theoretical discussion, but let's discuss the concrete 3 variations of 5-hatch Hydralisk. So let's begin with the most common one. Most typically, a Zerg player will see a Protoss early expanding, and the Zerg will take his natural and his second base, or his mineral natural, or whatever's available to him, and the Zerg player will rush towards Spire as quickly as possible. So you'll see a lot of Zergs go 12-hatch, 11-pool, 13-hatch, and then they will get 12 to 14 gas, somewhere in that range, to get that Spire up as quickly as possible. Zerg stays on one gas for a very long time, and then he adds on 2 more hatcheries as his Spire is building, as well as a den and another extractor and an evolution chamber for the +1 attack upgrade. Many Zergs also get Overlord speed to deal with Dark Templar and a few Sunken Colonies here and there as well. But for the most part, it's pretty much all drones, a handful of Scourge, and then a massive amount of Hydralisks. The Zerg also generally gets a third gas running fairly quickly at his third expansion, and proceeds to get a whole bunch of Mutalisks after that big Hydralisk army comes out. So now the Mutalisks are helping us to snipe off Templar, to do a little harassment in case the Protoss player didn't make any cannons in his main, and this combination with the Hydralisks is very, very effective. Let's discuss some pros and cons of this build. First of all, the underlying idea of this build is an effective counter to the annoying Corsair opening for Protoss. Second of all, it's pretty easy to do. There's nothing that tricky about the build. In particular, you get a lot of units to hold off attacks. You don't have to worry about doing anything technical to hold off attacks, like having 2 perfectly placed Lurkers to fend off a massive army until he gets observers. None of that happens. You just have 5 control groups of Hydralisks, and you attack, move, and smile. Moreover, you don't have to worry about storm dodging nearly as much because your Mutalisks are designed to kill off his Templar when he comes out for his first key attack. However, there are some significant drawbacks with the style of play that you need to consider whenever you're doing it. First of all, I would describe this build as what I'd call a tweener build. That is, it's not like you're expanding a bunch and trying to hold until all this momentum kicks in, and you're not being really aggressive at the opening. You're getting Scourge kind of fast, and then getting a bunch of Hydralisks kind of fast on kind of a lot of expansions. It's this very middle-of-the-road style play. And though there's not anything necessarily wrong with that, a consequence of that style of play is that it doesn't really force the Protoss player to do anything. If the Protoss player wanted to make one Corsair and then go 4 Gateway with a Zealot Archon push, he can do that. If he wanted to make lots of Gateways and then go Zealot Archon with DT, he can do that. If the Protoss player wanted to make a lot of Corsairs and go Corsair Reaver, he can do that. There's all the options Protoss has available. Protoss can choose which one he wants to do. As a result, those Hydralisks and Mutalisks that you have, you have to be putting them to very active use if you want to generate a strong advantage with this build. You can't just get the Mutalisks and the Hydralisks and say, well, if he attacks, I'll pick off those Templar and attack move my Hydralisks to win. If you're playing against a very good Protoss player, he will have enough of a macro ability that he'll be able to walk over you, unless you're actively harassing him with those Mutalisks and putting pressure on him with the Hydralisks. I know that many Zerg players are still most comfortable with momentum style play. They're most comfortable sort of defending and holding and waiting till their economy kicks in, and then they get this massive army that they walk over the Protoss with. When you're doing this 5-hatch Hydra build, that just isn't the case. You're relying on a ton of units, not very much defense, and you need to be very careful when you expand, how you position your units, and how to maximize the effectiveness of the units that you have. So to recap, this is a great way to play. I strongly recommend it if any of you want to use it. But I want to emphasize that it is not the only option. It has its strengths and weaknesses, and there are ways of doing 5-hatch Hydralisk in different fashion. So let's talk about some of those. Let's discuss the second variation I'm going to present. This variation was seen in Jadong vs. Stork on Return of the King, I believe in the OSL Round of 8 in the most recent Star League. Jadong did the following. He opened up going 2-hatch Lair. He was going for Lair very, very quickly. And Stork had the scouting probe around long enough to see that Jadong was doing this. But Jadong eventually killed that scouting probe and then ran his Zerglings up, so Stork was now in the dark, just knowing that his opponent had 2 hatcheries and was going straight for Lair. At this point, I was completely convinced that Jadong was doing an aggressive Muta Scourge opening against Stork. You know, it's just the standard sort of, if I get enough Mutas and Scourge, I can just kill off Protoss before he has enough stuff to deal with me. So the Lair finished, and Jadong built a Spire, but then Jadong surprised me when he built a Hatchery at his third expansion, and I thought to myself, do you have enough money to do that and get a bunch of Muta Scourge? And the answer is no. In fact, Jadong was never doing that in the first place. He added 2 more hatcheries and then a Hydralisk Den, and I realized that he was transitioning right back into the general sort of 5-hatch Hydralisk play. But what's so genius about Jadong's opening is that now it forces Stork to get Corsairs that Stork might not want to be getting. Stork, in his mind, sees 2 hatcheries and a Lair coming really fast. Stork thinks to himself, oh, Mutalisks are coming. I'll now make a whole bunch of Corsairs. But all of a sudden, this Mutalisk attack never comes, and Stork has a whole bunch of Corsairs lying around that he may not wanted to have built in the first place. Jadong's opening allowed him to say, great, I am playing against a Protoss player who is going to have a bunch of Corsairs. I am not worrying about a Protoss player who goes 1 Corsair and then straight into Fast Zealot Leg. So naturally, when I'm going to discuss the pros and cons of this build, a big pro is that it forced the Protoss player to do something in a passive fashion. Zerg didn't have to do anything sexy with units, he just had to let Protoss see what he was doing, and Protoss felt an imaginary pressure from his opponent from an attack that was never going to happen. Zerg now can sort of stereotype his play down one path since he knows Stork is going to be having more Corsairs than usual. And again, along with any 5-hatch Scourge Muta opening, this build that Jadong did is very effective against Corsair openings. So let's briefly spend some time discussing the cons. The first and most obvious one is that you have a little bit of a damaged economy at the start. When you open with 3 hatch, you do tend to get a lot more drones than when you open with 2 hatch. Another big disadvantage is that if you're not very good at dealing with Corsairs, you've essentially brought on your own doom. I mean, don't do this build if you really don't like dealing with a bunch of Corsairs. So again, Jadong opens up with an aggressive opening to force his opponent to do something. So, though he has a limited economy, he only has to deal with a very small subset of post-Corsair play. Let's now move on to a third variation of 5-hatch Hydralisk. This style I'm going to describe was seen in Bihiro vs. Bisou on Tau Cross in a recent Pro League match. Bihiro opened up by getting 4 hatcheries before his gas. Once he did throw down the 4th hatch, he immediately got a geyser, and then again started to tech towards lair. As opposed to the first two variations, where the players got the Spire first and then the Hydralisk Den later, Bihiro got a Hydralisk Den while his lair was building. The logic behind this is that the Protoss player is going to get his Corsair quickly, and since Hero isn't going to have his Spire up, he may as well get the Den to hold off a handful of Corsairs to make sure it doesn't lose too many Overlords early. Hero was very careful not to make too many Hydralisks, though. He only made a small few just to hold off those Corsairs and maybe an initial attack. And then he got the Spire and the Scourge and played it off just like any other 5-hatch Hydra variation. He continued to make a whole lot of drones and got a 5-hatchery and then the +1 attack upgrade for Hydralisks. However, Hero got those 4 hatcheries up so quickly that he had substantially more drones than what was normal. As a result, Hero was able to get way more hatcheries than usual and had this amazingly big army for when Bisou came out. In fact, of all the Pro League games that I've mentioned, I recommend this one the most because it was just so spectacular to see Hero get so many units and just to be able to attack move over Bisou, essentially. The obvious big advantage to this build is the macro ability. By getting that 4th hatchery so early, Zerg has a tremendously larger amount of units for the remainder of the game. And in a sense, it forces the Protoss player down one of two avenues. One, the Protoss player either has to expand in order to keep up, or two, the Protoss player has to be really, really aggressive and in your face in order to make sure that economic advantage never really takes off the ground. There are some downsides to this style of play. The big one is that you have to play a little bit more defensively, particularly in the early and the mid-game, far more so than you would in the other two variations I mentioned. First of all, if the Protoss player sees you going 4-hatchery before gas, immediately the Protoss player is not worried about any sort of early Mutalisk stuff. So a lot of Protoss players can cut cannons in their back and cut anti-air in general, and then they're able to come out with a substantially larger ground army in the early mid-game. Moreover, that first Corsair from Protoss gets to see everything that Zerg's doing. The Zerg is not going to have a Spire up nearly in time to take it out, so, you know, the Protoss player gets to see everything and make whatever decision he feels is appropriate. Many Protoss players take advantage of this by saying, oh, this player can't put that much pressure on me early, so I can cut all the money for defenses. Now, I'll put pressure back on him. In my experience, I've had a lot of Protoss players start to put a ton of pressure on me with early Zealots, and then with Corsairs, and then with DT, and then with Corsairs and Reavers, that after a while, I just realized I haven't been making any drones. I've only been making Hydralisks just to stay alive. And then when Protoss does come out with his attack force, it's too much and I end up crumbling. What I needed to have done was to spend all that time making drones, so when he came out to push, I already had 6 or 7 hatcheries building units instead of the 4 or 5 that I had due to this really pressure-intensive harass. In short, the strengths of this build are economy and macro. Make sure you don't get in a situation where you have a bad economy and you can't macro. To recap, the first variation, that is the most common variation, is very strong as long as the Zerg player is very careful to make sure his Hydralisks and Mutalisks are constantly doing things. The second variation, the low econ, forces the Protoss player to make too many Corsairs early, which allows the Zerg player to play against a limited scope of potential mid and end games. And the third variation has very powerful economy and macro as long as you're careful not to overreact to harassment and early pressure. So I hope that you can use the ideas of this talk to to help you tweak your own builds to make them more of the style that you like. And I guess that about wraps it up. Thanks, everyone. Good luck and cheers.